A lady came into our office building, and she had this piece of dirt on her forehead. I didn't know what it was. And I said, her name was Debbie Giannacco. Very, very nice lady. I said, "Debbie, what happened? You got dirt on your forehead." And she says, "Well, don't you know it's Ash Wednesday?" "Ash Wednesday? What are you talking about?" You know. And of course, to make it short, she observed Ash Wednesday and the 40 days of Lent. And interestingly enough, this year, Ash Wednesday was also on Valentine's Day. Okay, so you could have had a little red heart and you could have had a little bit of ash on your forehead and you would have been recognized as observing Lent. The 40-day period of Lent actually is a very important period of time each year. Some people take it to an extreme, but the purpose of it is to draw closer to Christ as we prepare to remember the Passover, his crucifixion, and then eventually his resurrection. The 40 days were to represent the 40 days that Christ spent in the wilderness after having been tempted by Satan. And of course, we are all tempted by Satan on a daily basis. The time period that leads up to that time, that 40-day period, is really a time for prayer. It's a time for fasting. It's a time to try and be more with Christ. It is a time for spiritual growth. It's a time to examine ourselves. As it says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." I found it really interesting. Walter makes this prayer today about faith. And that are we in the faith? Are we focused on the faith? Do we understand the grace that is given to us and the faith that is? But here Paul was having a problem in the Corinthian church. They said they believed in Christ, but he was telling them, look, test yourselves. Are you really in the faith? Because some of you, your life, the way you're leading your life, is not the kind of life of joy and peace and patience, and it's not of kindness and gentleness. And he was talking to the Corinthians about them and saying, look, examine yourselves. Are you really in the faith? Are you really producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? He says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? When we were repented and we received Christ in our lives, we received Christ in us. And then he says, of course, you may fail the test. Maybe Christ, you're just not doing the things that we should do when we are in the faith. And so we're at a time of the year where we can examine ourselves and say, are we really in the faith? Are we really exhibiting and living the character of Christ, the image of God that he created in us originally? Okay, are we really showing that? I know this is a time of the year of reflection. Sometimes we don't like to face what we call the truth. And so sometimes we don't even know it. And so God says, look, there's a way to find out. He says in Psalm 139, you can go and ask. You can go and ask God and say, God, search me and know my heart. What's in me? Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Basically, what this part of the psalm is saying, I know I'm a sinner, but maybe I'm sinning and I don't know it. Show it to me. Show me what I need to do to correct. Show me. You know, you ever wake up sometimes in the morning and you got this sort of dark cloud over your head and you're feeling, man, I'm just a bad, crummy, unworthy person. You ever get that thought sometimes? If you don't, you can leave now. No, I shouldn't say that. But don't you ever get that, you know, the cloud is there. There's something wrong. There's this dark cloud. I'm just not worthy in my prayers. Yeah, I pray, but oh, please help me. And here you are, you're talking to the creator of the universe, like we were this morning at prayer group. We're talking to the great creator, and yet we have this feeling inside of us of our unworthiness. And you think, well, now what? What am I supposed to do? My prayers are meant to be powerful. Nothing changes, actually. Our crummy, unworthy feelings don't go away of, you know, our feelings of, well, I'm really just not worthy, until we do one thing. And we have to remember, we'll quote this scripture again in a few minutes, but in 1 John it says, unless we confess our sins, okay, we need to be forgiven. We can repent and we can ask for forgiveness. That's what we can do. I was reading a thing by John Piper, which was really terrific. And he uses this phrase, and I don't want to misuse it, but he says, look, when we understand our sins and we know our sins and we can be honest with ourselves about our sins, all right, we can repent and we can ask for forgiveness and we can take aim. And I love this quote. He says, you can take aim with your gospel bazooka and blow them all up. And I'll explain that a little bit more. You see, the gospel bazooka that we all have is this knowledge and the faith and the belief that Christ died for our sins and we can ask for forgiveness. And we can't let the sins unconfessed come down and give us this crummy, unworthy, feeling. He doesn't want us to feel that way. But he does want us to be obedient. He does want us to be obedient. You'll notice in your handout today, under Psalm 139, I've listed six scriptures. We're not going to read them all, okay? Save you that. But I suggest you go through them. I suggest you go through them because the first one says, love God with all your heart. And the second one is loving your neighbor as yourself. The third one says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's interesting. And the next one in 1 Peter 5, it says, cast all your anxieties. Don't let worry be a sin. In Ephesians 4:29, he tells us how we are to speak and not use unwholesome, as it says in the Bible, talk come out of our mouths. And in Ephesians 5, it says, tell us, live like a wise person, making the most of every opportunity and not to be foolish. You see, this is to be obedient and to not sin and to obey God is absolutely essential in our lives. Our enemy around us, the sins that we find are very specific in our lives, they will come out of hiding when we ask God to seek and show what's in our hearts. We have to do more than just apologize to Jesus Christ. we have to really get angry at our own sin. Sounds weird, doesn't it? John Piper says, you know, there's an interesting thing that you can take with your gospel bazooka. He said, you can be a sin hater, which I hope we all are, and it gives us the one license we have to commit murder. We can murder sin. We can murder sin by confessing it and asking for forgiveness. Because if we don't, we have to be able to put to death sin. We have to put to death the sin that we have in our lives. And that's us, okay? It's all of us. There's a scripture in Colossians that says, put to death. Get out the old gospel bazooka if you want, and whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, whichever is up, put that away. If you live in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. That's how we are to live, to put to death the sin that we commit. We want to live. We want to live. And Christ provides eternal life for us. But he asks us to do a couple of things. The first one is repentance. This is the time of Lent. This is a time when we should spend extra time searching and asking, what can we be repenting of? Romans 2:4, don't show contempt for the riches of the kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness will lead us to repentance. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Christ came here to save us, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what he wants of us. And then this is the one. This is the promise. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Romans, again, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are alive, thanks to the Holy Spirit and thanks to Jesus Christ. You know, in heaven, there's the scripture, I like it. When anyone comes to Christ, receives Christ, it says, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven when we repent, too. There is rejoicing in heaven. So repentance is one of the things that we should focus on this time of the year as we approach the Passover. There's many different ways of doing that. It can be done through prayer. And there is another thing that we can do. And it's called fasting. I don't know if anybody in this room has ever fasted before. And I'm not going to proclaim a fast day for our church. But I am going to ask you to consider fasting. Now, some people have taken fasting to an extreme. And some churches have used it in the wrong way. I do have a handout, if you're interested, on how to fast correctly. Fasting doesn't necessarily mean that you stop eating and drinking for a long period of time and miss a whole bunch of meals. You're not fasting because you think fasting is a way of salvation, or fasting is a sort of a penance that you're doing. Fasting has one real and only purpose. That the time you take doing something else, you stop doing that for a while and give that time to prayer and to God and to reading His Word. That's what it is. Fasting is not giving up chocolate. I love chocolate. And if I thought fasting was to give up chocolate, I would give it up. In fact, if you go to some religions, they're saying you have to give up sugar for 40 days. Giving up sugar is great, but it's not fasting. Okay? You're not giving up something that you spend time with so that you can use that time for Christ and your spiritual growth. You can give up watching TV for an hour and use that instead to be closer to Christ. You can give up a meal. You can give up two meals. You can. There's all kinds of things one can do. But the bottom line purpose of fasting is not to try and show that you're more religious. It's not to try and show, oh God, I'm such an unworthy person. I'm going to fast because No. Fasting is to spend time with Christ. We want to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to broadcast around, oh, I'm fasting today. Oh, I can't do that because I'm fasting. No, you keep it to yourself. Actually, you're not keeping it to yourself. You're keeping it between yourself and Jesus Christ. That's who you're doing it with and for. Fasting can be done in multiple different ways. I've done it. In the previous church I was in, Day of Atonement, we all had to fast for 24 hours. Not easy. Yeah, you get a few little hungry pains. Well, that's just to remind you, maybe you should be spending some time with Christ. But there's a few little things that I can tell you that help making fast. If you're going to give up some time and some food and water, there's a few little tricks of the trade, I call them. Number one, if you drink coffee every day, have a cup of coffee as the last thing you do before you start fasting. Because otherwise, you're going to get a coffee headache later on. All right? That's number one. Okay? Number two. Okay? And there's a few of these, all right? Make sure you're hydrated, all right? Not just with coffee, but make sure you've got some hydration in you. If you are taking a medication, don't stop doing that, okay? You're going to make yourself sick. That's not the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting is to be with Christ, all right? And as I said, there are other ways to do it, and it's not just giving up food. Turn off your phone, turn off the television, close your iPad, spend a couple of hours digitally free, outside of the influences of the world that is around you, and use that time to be with Christ. To be with Christ. One of the things that I find is helpful, and I'm going to ask us all to do this now, in our prayer and when we choose to repent, because repentance better be part of our fasting, because we do want to repent and we do want God to show us our sins and we want to be able to change from them. And probably the best thing or the best psalm, and I'm sure you all know it, but I'd like us all to read it together. If you've got a red Bible in front of you, please turn to page 889. Turn to page 889. And this is the psalm. We'll read 16 verses of this psalm, the first 16 verses. This is the psalm that David wrote. And we all know the story of David and Bathsheba and David not only committing adultery with her, but also having her husband killed. And finally, it took Nathan to explain to David what you have just done. Because, you know, David, a man after God's own heart, okay, didn't understand that he had sinned and it had to be shown to him. But then when he realized what had happened, he wrote this psalm. And this is a psalm, if you're going to take some extra time to be with Christ, this is the psalm that you might want to read. So let's all do it together, because as a church, okay, we can repent. As a church, okay, we can come to Christ and say, and now let's read it together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness. Even in the womb you taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me. Are you with me, folks? Are we on verse 7? Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will clean, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that they will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of blood. God, my Savior, my tongue will sing your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord. I will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. Be not displeasure, but sacrifice of God, and a broken and contrite heart, O God. I know we get a little disoriented there, but this psalm is a very important psalm because it asks us and it asks God to have mercy, to search our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, and to preserve the Holy Spirit in us, right? David was afraid that the Holy Spirit would be taken away from him. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a promise that's in the book of Ephesians. But that promise doesn't mean that we can just do whatever we like whenever we like. We're at a time of the year where we are to think and examine ourselves. And the interesting part about this is in Psalm 32. Because when we do this, God says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin in the Lord does not count it against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. He forgives us of our sins, totally and completely. And this isn't something new that just came in the New Testament. This was predicted and promised and told to Isaiah, and Isaiah says it right at the very beginning, or almost at the beginning of his book, chapter 1. He tells us, wash and make yourselves clean. Put that clean heart in me. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And then God says, come now. Come now. Let us just settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That's a promise. So we have to know our sin to forgive our, to ask for forgiveness and to be repentant of it. See, Christ came to save sinners. That's why he came to this world. In Matthew chapter 1:21, she will give birth. Mary will give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. And because he will be, why give him that name? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Because he will save his people from their sins. He will give us eternal life. So I'm just asking, reminding, encouraging, that we use this time from now, not just this time from now until Passover, but set aside some extra time for Christ, extra time for prayer, a little extra time for reading his word, a little extra time if you can and you have the opportunity to tell other people who Christ is and what he's done. That's what we are here for at this time. So with that, I'd just like to close this with a prayer. Great God, Father in heaven, as we approach the Passover and Easter over the next 40 days, or just less a few days less than that, we just come before your throne now, and we ask that you will help us to draw closer to you. Help us in our growth, our spiritual growth. Increase and well up the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Give us that time where when we get up in the morning that we come to you with a fully repentant attitude, and that we can ask you to show us our sin so that we can repent of it, and that we can praise you, Lord Jesus, and thank you that you suffered on the cross so that we could have eternal life. We thank you, God. We praise you. Help us to draw closer to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to play this other video that we had this morning.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord.
Close our service with prayer.
Our Father, we thank you for the time we have spent in your presence this morning. And we thank you that when we come to you in faith, that we are sealed by your Holy Spirit, and that your Holy Spirit does not come and go, but is with us forever. And we just pray that as we go out as ambassadors for you this week, that we would not grieve your Holy Spirit by the things we say or do, by our actions. And just give us the compassion on those around us that you would have us have. For I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's say the benediction together. It's in Jude chapter 1. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. I can play that song one more time if you like.